it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
What's up, guys? I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We're heading towards the home stretch of the WNBA season, and there is so much to get into every episode. Twice a week, I'm joined by one of my amazing co-hosts as we dissect the biggest games, performances, and even some off-court drama. The playoffs are quickly approaching, and now is the best time to tune in. Who will come away as this year's champion? The competition is heating up, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So every game, after every game, I write a column. It's called Arrow Up, Arrow Down. It's at WGR550.com. You can find it right there. I've already written it for today for this game. But I'm going to ask you, Matt, to give me an arrow up. Who would you go right to first as an arrow up for this game?
Can I give you multiple?
Absolutely. Give me.
Okay.
Let's say James Cook had the run, so I'm gonna give him an arrow up. We already did that. Give me another arrow up.
Joey Bosa?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And hey, yours could be different than mine, but he was the first guy I even mentioned. Not that it's in any sort of order, but he came to mind. Joey Bosa was fantastic in this game.
He was awesome.
Can you imagine if he stays healthy and the Bills get that Joey Bosa for 17 games?
Oh, it would be unbelievable. It would be the difference that they've been looking for. They haven't had that type of production since pre-Von Miller injury, his first year in Buffalo, where those first 9, 10, whatever it was, games, he was awesome. And he brought them more pass rush juice than Joey Bosa is doing right now, and I'm not denying that. But I just do think to have somebody who is about as productive as Greg Rousseau, opposite Greg Rousseau, is going to give you multiple looks that you didn't otherwise have. And the other thing, too, let's not get too ahead of ourselves here, but I was thinking about it a little bit today. Man, like Kevin Hoyt is going to be so nice as a rotational piece. I just think that he's going to bring them so much juice. And Ogunjobi as well. I think having him in the interior, especially with the young guys that you have. Like, I thought Deion Walker did fine today. I didn't notice for any great reasons or any, you know, bad reasons. TJ Sanders, the same thing. Just having a couple other guys, I think, is going to make the entire defensive line that much more effective.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So one of the other arrows up that I gave, there were several players in there, but one was, how about this, Matt, this stat I found. So the Bills did not allow a third down conversion. The Jets were 0-for-11. Now the Jets did convert three fourth downs. 0-for-11. I went back and said, when's the last time that happened? So I did a little query, a search over at Pro Football Reference, which is Stathead, how they have their searches for this in-depth stuff. According to Stathead, a very reliable site, by the way, this is only the second time it's happened since I believe they started keeping track in the early 1990s. And the only other time was the game the Bills beat the Jets 2 years ago after Ken Dorsey was fired and the Bills won here in Buffalo.
Oh,
and they were also 0-for-11 that day. Oh, so only twice in the last, 30 years, basically, since the Super Bowl era, only twice, this game and 2 years ago, did the Bills hold an opponent to zero conversions on at least 11 third down opportunities.
That's funny. Wow. That's a very random stat, but that's a very good stat because I think it kind of paints just like the Jets couldn't do anything today offensively. And a lot of that is to the Bills' credit. They made some really nice plays. And like we talked about, some open field tackles, or they put the Jets in a lot of third and long situations. I would love to know what the average third and yardage was because it was probably pretty deep. It was probably 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 because the Bills started each drives with some negative plays, whether they were tackles for losses or no gain rushes from Breece Hall. And that's good because that's what we talk about with the defensive line. That's what we talk about with Joey Bosa in this pass rush that is supposed to be improved. You need to put them into situations where they can pass rush. It felt like every single third down the Ravens had last week was 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 4. Felt like every single one of them.
That's right.
And the Bills were getting carved up. But you would expect the Bills offense to be doing kind of the same thing to an opposing defense. When you've got an elite quarterback and you've got elite playmakers, you're getting, you really like your chances of third and three, third and four. Except for that one today where it was third and four and the Bills just turned around and handed it off. It was really, really a weird play call.
I understand that. We'll get into that in a second. I do want to, it's a great point you just made because I just looked. Okay, ready? Here are the first few third downs I came across from the Jets in this game. Third and 11.
Yep.
Third and 20.
Yep.
Third and 25.
Wow.
Those are the first three third downs I see for the Jets. The next one was a third and six. Uh-huh. Let's see how long it takes to get to a third and five or shorter. Here's a third and 10. That's the first half. Go ahead.
It's probably the one where Benford made the open field tackle on the sideline, and then Bernard came in and cleaned it up. I think that was relative. I think it was like third and four.
It was third and three officially. Yep, that's the one. And Benford makes the tackle. Then it's fourth and one. Then they punt, and by then you're kind of like, okay, that's game over. They're almost waving the white flag right there. To be quite honest with you, as far as the Jets are concerned, and let's go into the fourth quarter here. Third and 10 for the Jets. Third and six. Third and 18. A third and four, and by the time this time the game is kind of already just winding down, and then third and two and third and 12. So you're right, Matt. It was early down success, which last week they didn't have. We can talk about third down statistics all we want, and we do. And last year, third down defense was not good for the Bills. And this year, game one, it wasn't good. But what hurt them last week was early down success by the Ravens, and that's why they had the third and shorts.
Yeah, and I think that this is another positive sign, but I also think it shows the importance of having that success on early downs, and a lot of that usually comes with your ability to stop the run. Now, once again, the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry, but I do think that when you play some good running backs, like Devon Achane is a really good running back, right? He's very explosive, but for the Bills, you need to have some success in this game on early downs where they try and run it or they try and do some stuff that's, you know, a little bit more short yard focus, where you're putting them into positions where it is second and long, third and long, so you can allow the pass rush to be able to get back there and to make plays. And that's just the closest example I could think of, because that's the opponent that they have coming up. But that's true with any opponent. If you're going to put them in these situations, you like your chances, especially with so much of a focus on fixing the pass rush for whatever it was, 6 months or whatever.
One more time, I want to remind everybody, you can always watch us here on YouTube at Sal Sports. You can watch us on X at Sal Sports and comment with us as well at Matt_Bove. Follow us both. Download and subscribe both on YouTube at Sal Sports, but also wherever you pod. That's iTunes, that's Spotify, that's the Odyssey app. All right. Zion. Go ahead.
Zion Logue would get an arrow up for sure.
Yeah, he was on my list, so there you go.
There is a Schefter update on Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Sources, images of Joe Burrow's turf toe injury are being sent to noted foot specialist Dr. Robert Anderson to be reviewed. If surgery is deemed necessary, it would be expected to sideline Burrow 3 months. Burrow was in a walking boot and on crutches after today's game.
I mean, the first update was turf toe with torn ligaments, not turf toe and torn ligaments. The way I understand it is turf toe kind of is torn ligaments when you really have it. Mm-hmm. I think obviously by Schefter saying that, you're prepared for the worst, but it doesn't have to be. But man, that would be terrible for the Cincinnati Bengals, who, by the way, have started 2-0.
I didn't mean to sidetrack us. We will get to that and some other points, big picture, at the end of this podcast.
That's what happens when we go live, everybody. All right, Zion Logue, I agree. And he wasn't like statistically great, but he was really good in his role and what he did. Mm-hmm. Elevated from the practice squad earlier this week, fills in for Ed Oliver. He was prepared and ready. That's what I love. When guys get called upon and they're prepared to do their job, half of a sack, batted down a pass, he was a big part of what they did up front.
Yeah, I liked Zion Logue's game. And that was the thing when we started the podcast and I talked about how, admittedly, I was a tad concerned. I was concerned with the defensive tackle position specifically. Yeah. I thought, listen, Taron Johnson, with this matchup specifically, I don't think losing a nickel cornerback is going to kill you. But I was sitting there and I'm like, man, you lose Ed Oliver, you don't have Dwayne Carter. Larry Ogunjobi is suspended. We're talking about the second career games for Deion Walker and TJ Sanders. And then there's Daquan Jones. And admittedly, I don't think Daquan Jones is the same player he was a couple of years ago. So now I'm like, I got a ton of questions at defensive tackle. It didn't come to a point today where I was like, oh, that's a weakness for them. I thought Zion Logue did a nice job. I think the rookies did a nice job. So collectively, well done.
I'm going to give you another one that went very under the radar. I know a lot of people by now may have already said, oh, yeah, you're right about that. Maybe you've seen it.
Oh, give me a hint, because now I want to guess.
A guy that doesn't. Okay. A guy that they signed late. Guy they signed late in the offseason.
Elijah
the season.
Moore?
Nope. He was nice. He was very in the locker room. It really meant a lot to him to score against his former team, by the way.
I bet it did. Yeah.
I'll give you one more hint. Doesn't play a traditional position, but it's not punter either.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Plays a position, but he's not getting an arrow up for playing that position.
I don't know. Just tell me.
Sam freaking Franklin.
Oh, yeah. Sam Franklin. Somebody
Sam Franklin
today,
at some point in the game, I literally, on the sidelines, I said to somebody on the Bills staff and I said on the radio to Eric and Chris, I said, I think Sam Franklin has made every tackle.
Yes.
Has made the tackle on every kickoff. The guy was incredible.
Yeah, well, it was obvious, or excuse me, it wasn't obvious, but when he first made a play on special teams, I had to do a double, like, it's like, who's 28? Oh, yeah, Sam Franklin. And then every single time, it felt like 28 was running down the field and making a play. It feels like for a long time, they've looked for a special teams ace.
Yes.
I don't remember one who I've been, like, overly impressed with. It's only a couple games. But really good sign for this guy who a lot of people really spoke glowingly about.
And he was coached by Chris Tabor.
That's what I mean. Yeah, exactly.
Which is a big reason why he's in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting is the way kickoffs are now, you can design a kickoff to kind of say, okay, we want this guy to be able to go there and make the tackle. Now, the other team, you can't help what they're doing. They could go right return, left return. But you can put Sam Franklin in a spot on the kickoff team and say, we're going to kick it so that he has good shortest distance straight line to go make the tackle here. The guy gets off his block and he makes the tackle. He had three tackles on special teams. That is nothing to sneeze at, folks. Three tackles on special teams in one game is really, really good. I mean, you don't normally see that. Two solo, by the way, which is incredible.
I like, too, especially with punt coverage, when you can start with favorable field position or you really force a team into having to go all the way down the field, that changes things. Like on kickoffs now, I think I'm guilty of it. I think a lot of us are guilty of it. A routine kickoff now is usually getting returned to the 35, 40-yard line. Like that's not normal anymore.
Right.
You know, like before, it was like, oh, that's a great return. Now that's pretty standard. When you're punting the ball, like you want to be pinning these teams deep in 20-yard line. 20 and in.
Yep.
And he made a couple tackles today that pinned the Jets deep that allowed the Bills to have some success. I think he made the tackle after the Bills scored the touchdown to take it 7-0. I think he scored the tackle that pins the Jets back pretty deep. And then Bosa punched the ball out the next play. Because that's why when they took over,
I think
they took over at the 21, which was really, really great field position.
I got to look at that, but I think you're right about that. All right. And I did, by the way, give arrows up to both Cameron Johnson and Matt Prater. Johnson punted three times. He pinned the Jets inside their own 20 twice on two of those punts. That's a two out of three inside the 20. Matt Prater, once again, I mean, 5 for 5 in his kicks.
Yeah.
He has three extra points. 6 for 6, 3 field goals, including a 52 yarder. And then the other one I want to touch on here, because we had so much talk about it last week. They weren't flashy, but I thought the safeties really had a much better game today, a bounce back game. But especially, Matt, not just because of like production, they were ready and prepared at the snap. I talked with Cole Bishop about it afterwards. He said, yep, it was something we really tried to clean up. The Ravens did a good job of just quick snap, and we weren't in our positions. They were great at communicating. It's not as loud of a stadium because they're on the road now, right, when they're on defense. But I thought – and Cole Bishop had a sack, by the way, so good for him. But I thought the safeties were much better.
You know what my favorite Cole Bishop play was today?
What?
The penalty he took on Garrett Wilson. I'm not saying, like, I don't want players to make dirty decisions. It was a late hit. It was like ticky. I want to see that dude play with fire. That is what his job is. I need you to be an absolute pain in the ass to the other team.
Yep.
I want you to hit them where it hurts. And that's what we saw him do. I'm not advocating for people hitting somebody out of bounds or late hits or anything. I just want to see that guy. I want to have to peel him back and not try and get more out of him. And that's how I feel about a lot of these guys, right? Like, cross the line and then we'll pull you back from the other side of the line. And I liked that. I liked him playing to the whistle. I think that's a really good sign. I mean, somebody said he finally looked comfortable. He finally looks like, hey, like I'm here and I belong here.
You mean, wait a minute. All the stuff that the coaches tell us, they just need time on task and more reps to feel more comfortable. I'm not telling you that it's a solution right now that's going to last forever and he's going to be great in all pro, but I do think there's something to getting reps, feeling more comfortable, being in the system, working next to Taylor Rapp. And the more he can get, the better he's going to be.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.